like to introduce our next speaker, Gabe S. from the Start to Live group of NA in the Philadelphia area of NA. Gabe.
Is that Gabe?
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be coming today. Really grateful to be at this retreat. This is my first time here. Grateful to the program, asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. I love the God of my understanding humbles me. I love that. I need that. I need it. And it happens consistently through my recovery, and it's really interesting, and thank you so much, Sharon. I got a lot out of your message. You did a great job. So I got clean. Listen, I didn't know I was getting clean. I got clean in a psych ward. I thought I was trying to not cut my arms open, and I didn't understand what was wrong with me. I just didn't understand, I knew I had a drug problem, but when I was in that ward, I knew that I had to do something different, and I felt like I was done. Just to qualify myself, I have an NA sponsor, I have an NA home group, I work NA steps. My clean date is April 29th, 2012. Relapse is not part of my story, it could be. Anybody that has relapsed has come back, I value you. I get so much out of people that share about what happened. It really helps me. We all have something to offer. I just can't believe it's broken. Talking about this earlier with some gentlemen here, you hear your story shared sometimes, I'll disqualify myself. It's really not so much anymore. But I disqualified myself because I didn't use how a lot of people use, right? I got hung up on that. And my disease would tell me, go out. This time you're going to go out. You're going to shoot dope in your neck. And you're going to come back and you're going to show them what an addict you are. So my disease lies to me. My disease is in my thinking, right? The disease of addiction was kicking my ass long before I ever put a drug in me. Long before I ever got high, the disease of addiction was giving me a thorough ass whooping. I grew up in just a shattered, broken home. I was adopted. I was put up for adoption as a baby. I have a sister who's not my blood relative who was put up for adoption as a baby. My parents adopted me. My mother told me that my mother was Italian. They told me that they adopted me because I look like a good Dago, because I had brown eyes and brown hair, but the thing is, they told me my whole life that I was adopted, and it wasn't that someone wanted me, it's that she didn't. My birth mother didn't want me, and I got caught up on that. So I've been a victim. I've been a victim my whole life, And so I've been searching for a spiritual solution my whole life. I've been a mess. I failed every grade from second grade on, every class. I just didn't know how. I just avoided. I gave up. There's that thing in me. Our literature talks about that thing in me that cries out for failure, and that's my story. So when I heard this gentleman at a meeting that I really respect sharing how the disease was kicking his ass long before he ever put a drug in, and thank God for the most obvious symptom, because it brought me here, and I believe that you prayed me into this room, So, anybody who held a moment of silence, before April 29th, 2012. I'm just so grateful for. And I like that God humbles me, you know, like I said, because I need it. I'll think I'm a big deal, you know. And thank God for the step work. Thank God for the step work, you know. So, like, for instance, like, when I, pretty much every anniversary, I get humbled, you know, and it's this beautiful gift. When we were sharing 4 years, no, 5 years clean, me and a sponsee went to New York for a meeting, right? An afternoon meeting, you know, we're going to do some shopping. And I'm in my head, I'm like, I'm going to get a key tag, I'm going to share, I'm going to cure some people, I'm going to give them Philly recovery, I'm gonna, like, they're going to be asking me to come up and speak for conventions, you know? And the best thing happened. We went to this meeting. They don't celebrate clean time. They don't give out key tags. They're like, you know? And I'm like, okay. But I'm going to drop some stuff. I'm going to let them know, right? I'm going to let them know, right? And then it was this round robin meeting, right? And so they're going around. They're going to go around in a circle. So there's a guy, and it's like a 45-minute or 50-minute long meeting, like a lunchtime meeting. So there's a guy to my right, and they're like, who wants to share first? And I'm humble, Gabe, so I don't put my hand up, you know. I don't put my hand up first, you know. I want to come in, you know, save, you know. And the guy to my right puts his hand up, and he shares. And then it goes around the meeting the other way, and it never came back to me. And all I can say is just thank you, God. You know, thank you, God. You know, and I've been getting gifts like that my entire time clean, you know, and it's a little bit about how things work for me. And in my third, when I went over a third step with a sponsor, I learned the spiritual awakening that I was given, that I was granted, was that we are all in a constant dialogue with God. We're just all in a constant dialogue. I understood that the way my higher power works is like, he's a spirit, it, whatever, I don't know, is a spiritual interpreter that just will show me when I'm paying attention, when I'm listening, the spiritual hit in any situation and the gifts therein. And that's what my third, that's what my third step, you know, granted me, you know. And so God's been talking to me, you know, my whole life, you know. And I just was so bitter, so broken, so such a victim, you know, so cynical that I didn't want it. I didn't want it because you didn't give me that, because I'm fat, because my parents didn't teach me any kind of hygiene. I didn't know how to wash my hair. And I went to school in hand-me-downs and sneakers bought in a supermarket in like a, you know, middle-class neighborhood, you know, and I was just tore up. Right? And so I was upset, and I was cynical, and I was broken, you know? And things work out just how they're supposed to work out, you know? They work out just how they're supposed to work out, you know? And so, I remember I just decided I was going to throw parties at my house because I wanted to fit in. I wanted something. And I threw that first party, and that feeling of like being wanted and needed and loved, and I chased that. I chased that feeling, man. That grabbed me up, and I started using, right? And I was able to put on a mask to change who I was, right? You know, I became counterculture gay. You know, I became this other person. I found this niche. Finally, I found my people. And when I was getting high, all that other stuff didn't mean much. In fact, now I'm like some kind of, you know, I'm on some kind of frontier, right? You know, some kind of like psychedelic frontier. You know, there's some secret knowledge that they hit on in the 60s, and we're gonna rediscover this in the 80s down here in Delaware County. And I chased that, you know. And I've been seeking a spiritual solution my whole life. And I have some deep beliefs about that, and I'm not going to share that from here, you know. I have some deep beliefs about that. Some things have been revealed to me, and I'm not special. We all have things revealed to us. You know, we just do. You know, I'm just an average addict. I'm not unique. You know, I've been outdone in every way. You know, 10, 11, and 12. 10 is just beautiful, and I was really struggling when I was working the 10th step. I was like, I was on the way out. I was caught up with this fascination. I was at this meeting about, I was a first tradition meeting about, you know, and this girl was talking about unity, and what she was talking about was her circle of friends. And I was thinking, well, fuck, I don't have that. These people, they don't invite me out. I'm not in this crew. I don't have this clique. I'm different. And then I said to myself, you should shoot dope. And I said, no. I see the people on the bus that have been shooting dope, and I don't want to look like that. I need to shoot coke because that's sexy. And I started at a meeting, and thank God I was at a meeting, and I started getting just locked in on this idea. Because my mind, when I follow my thinking, I'm in trouble. And I'm in more trouble when I don't expose the thinking that I'm following. And I had enough experience, enough time, 4 years clean, to get my hand up and let people know what I was thinking. And I mean, I was locked in. This was just running. It was obsession. I was like, yeah, you gotta do this. Fuck this. This isn't working. You know, because I'm a victim. I'm a victim. You know, poor me. You know, and so I was struggling when I was working a 10th step, and I didn't feel like I was locked in on it. I didn't feel like I was getting an impact. But that's not how the steps work. Because I, it's my experience that as I keep working steps, the steps I work after that, you know, they solidify the ones before. You know, so my second step solidified my first step. And this is really important. This is important because I believe that the disease of addiction, now I didn't come up with this, but I heard a woman with a lot of time share, the disease of addiction is corrosive in nature. So I need to keep working. It's a progressive disease. You know, for some people that might mean I use harder drugs. That's not my story. But my disease is fucking progressive. So I need a progressive recovery. I need to keep working steps. I need to stay in service. I need to sponsor when asked. I need to pray. I need to improve my relationship with God. I've come to like this. I have an alarm that goes off in the morning, and when it goes off, it just says, "Be God's friend," you know. And that, because that's what the God of my understanding wants, right? So the 10th step is beautiful. I remember, you might see a theme here of how my thinking goes. I was asked I live in South Philly, and I was asked to go share at this meeting up in the Northeast. So I had it all planned out. It was a 6-step meeting. You know, I love sharing on steps, you know. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go outside my door. Right outside my door, there's a bus that's gonna take me to this subway, and I'm gonna get off that subway. I'm gonna grab another bus and make it to this meeting. The bus didn't really do things how I wanted, so I'm standing out in front of my house, and the bus is late. Don't they know who I am? Don't they know I'm spiritual Gabe? I'm gonna be going to Northeast Philly. I'm gonna be dropping some stuff here, right? I'm gonna let people know. You know, I'm important. And I'm just like, pacing. And I'm like, I'm not going to make it. You know, this isn't going to go how I planned. I'm out of control. I don't have control over this. And I didn't like it. And my obsession and that anger, that triangle of self-obsession, that resentment, and the fear came in. And the bus eventually came. And usually I just keep my mouth shut because these poor bus drivers driving through the city, usually I keep my mouth shut, but this time I couldn't. So I get on the bus and I say, "Are you the bus that's late? Or are you the next bus that's actually a little early? Which one are you?" And the woman who's taking me to where I need to be looks at me and says, "I'm the person who was stuck in traffic back down there." And I go and I sit down. I'm like, oh. And I knew what I had to do. Because it didn't sit right for me. Because God has helped me out. Because as we stay here, we do work. Some of us have this, we shift from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, right? And so my natural state, my best idea was get off the back door, right? And avoid No, I don't have to do this. And I said, that's just not right. Because I'm also, I know how I'll get. I'll be riding buses forever trying to remember how this woman lived. So, as we're coming up to where I need to get off, I go up to near the front of the bus, and I'm about 5 or 6 feet back, and she kind of gives a little look. She knows it's me. She knows I'm the jerk, you know? And what I said was what you taught me. Hey, look, you know, I'm sorry for what I said back there. That was wrong with me. Freedom. Freedom. Step 10, freedom. Freedom from self. My spirit felt instantly better. And that's not why I did it. That's not why I did it. I did it because you guys told me this is it. And I didn't explain. Because, you know, I got some place to go and I was agitated. It's not important. It's not important. And when I start doing that, it's manipulation, it's justification, it's rationalization. And I used a long time for those same reasons. You know, not just drugs. Women, food, you know, bulimia, you know, gambling, you know, all the ways. The disease has kicked my ass in so many different ways. These are all parts of my story. You know, I'm a man who's with years clean, tricking against his will. Just throwing a woman money, you know, knowing what she's putting in her arm, not caring. You know, lying to myself, you know. I know where I can go. I know where I can go, you know. So the 10th step just allows me this freedom. It's like a mini 4 through 9, really. You know, unless I don't need to do that. And that's when it's really working. When I don't tell the bus driver, yo, you infringed upon my day. How dare you? And that's when I do that stuff and I don't make that amends. That's where the disease gets me. That's where the disease come in. Yeah, Gabe. Yeah, you ain't got nothing. You're a liar, Gabe. You're a phony. You're a fraud. And they know. They know. That's why people in your area never ask you to share. Because they know. They see you're a fraud. Right? That's how my mind works. You know? God talked to me after I got this commitment. A person was reading something from our new book from a guiding principle about prestige and how its root is in trickery and illusion. And I understood because I've been listening to the speakers from this area for years, and I understood that I was seeking some prestige coming here to share. And God gave me that a couple weeks back, helped me. You know, man Sharon, who had been out for, you know, he'd been clean for 29 years and went out and came back and was sharing about prestige. And I said, thank you, God. And I was able to pray and shift my perspective a little bit because we're allowed to start over. We're allowed to start over. You know, like we come in here, you know, people come in here, they've used, and we tell them we love them, we hug them, we say keep coming back. It's okay. You know, just try again. Just keep coming back. Well, I'm allowed. My second step gave me permission to start over my day at any point, no matter what. So the 11th step for me is just a beautiful place. It's a beautiful experience that it had. And while working the step, I was gifted. I was gifted. I had spiritual awakenings. I tell you, like something that was beautiful in the 11th step. I share about this a lot. I was thinking about the mechanism of prayer and how I pray. You know. And I realized, I don't pray outward, I pray inward. You know? And so for me, like, I said, and I realized that I find God in self. I find God in myself. And what does that mean? God's only in Gabe? This is where God lives? You know? You know, so what I understood is that God is in everyone. And God is everywhere. And I also started understanding that the only way, the only interpretation that I have that allows me to understand the God of my understanding is that the God of my understanding is unconditional love. You know, and I practiced a spirituality before I came in the rooms that had a lot of that in there. And giving that out is easy a lot of times for me. And I'm blessed that way. But receiving it. Remember, she gave up. She gave up. My mother put me up for adoption, so I'm not worthy of love. Right? So receiving unconditional love is an important thing for me. And I didn't understand that. And I had an experience where, you know, this woman was talking to me, and we were talking for a little bit. She's in the rooms, and I thought the whole thing was about that her and I were going to start dating, and that never happened. But what happened is, through that experience of me not getting what I wanted, I was put into a place of healing with the God of my understanding. The deepest wound, that wound of rejection, you know, that victim's mentality, you know. And I'm not healed, but I'm healing, you know. And it all came through this other thing. I thought I was doing this one thing, right? So with or without my permission is what I'm learning about how God works in my life. In my 11th step, well, I believe that everything is an 11th step experience. That everything is just. It's just an 11-step experience. And that everything, no matter what my experience is, whatever's happening, it allows me to become closer to the God of my understanding. And I also understood that the place where I'm able, or from where I'm at, to receive and to be able to feel my most improved conscious contact with my higher powers at a meeting with other people just like me that have my best interests in mind, that love me, you know, that allow me to love them. You know, so when I'm in a meeting, man, I'll tell you, I feel it. I feel it, and I felt it since I came in. You know, my second meeting, this guy shared hope. He was talking about mugging old ladies, stealing their purses, robbing people at ATMs, which isn't my story. But then he was talking about, after being clean, receiving presidential commendations for working with inner city youth. And that gave me so much hope, and I've been chasing that ever since. You know? So 11 is just a powerful thing for me. You know, that whole idea of being God's friend, my second sponsor taught me this prayer that's just beautiful. And I don't know how you say it. The prayer is really simple. I just open up and feel. I understand that I'm in the presence of. And I just say, hey, buddy. You know, and that's it. You know, and it is the most nurturing thing that I've learned to do. It's just such a beautiful, warm feeling in my spirit. Because, you know, like, look, we have a threefold disease: mental, physical, and spiritual. So my best ideas got me high and high and high, and I was abusing my body, acting out on disease, right? Be it drugs, you know, sex. You know, food, like I was saying, I've struggled with bulimia at different points in my life. They all come from the disease of addiction. So when I'm following my thoughts and not checking that and running it by people, I'm not in a good place generally. But when I'm following my spirit, I'm in recovery. I'm recovering. And I get confused about that sometimes, you know, but it's not as confusing today as it was when I first got clean. And step 12, listen, man, in some ways, I've been working, a 12 step has been present in my life. The area that I'm from is just great. You know, the downtown area of my town really will love you up. You know, the Philadelphia region will love you up, man. And I am so blessed and happy to be there. I am so grateful to be in the Philadelphia region. You know, I'm welcome at meetings. I go to meetings where I'm the only white person there, and it don't matter. We're all just addicts, you know. And the only thing that really, I have the advantage, because when my one white hand goes up, I always get picked. It's just how it is, you know. I'm not trying to manipulate that. I've just noticed, you know. I've been doing the research for a while, you know. But people just love me up, man, you know. And they taught me to do that. And I love newcomers. I love people just coming in or coming back. I love it. It just really gets me, man. And I get it. I get it. People trying to figure it out. What's the angle here? I'm like, I know you. Oh, what's the angle here, right? Yeah, I understand. It's not, man. I want to stay clean. I love when someone calls me 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, when I pick up the phone. I haven't always. You know, I'm not perfect. Seventh step tells me I'm just a person. It tells me that I'm allowed to take my foot off my throat, right? But when someone calls you and wants to stay clean and struggling and chooses, you know, to give them that gift of themselves. It's just a beautiful thing. It's humbling, man. Thank God for humility. Thank God for these spiritual principles. You know what? I don't know if my understanding. In fact, I don't know what I pray to. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't know if God's intention is for me, you know, to be something or do something. I don't know. I just, it's like, does the sun intend for a flower to grow? You know what I mean? Does the sun intend for a flower to grow? I don't know. Maybe. But when we come here and we start practicing principles and doing the next right thing for the right reason, we start blossoming like flowers. These beautiful, we have this beauty in us. And things just change. You know? Like, look, man, my staff work has shown me that I'm not a victim. Reluctantly. You know? And it's just a lie. You know, and I didn't understand my first round through the steps how woven that was, you know, into my being. You know, but after working a 12 step, the part with 12 that's obviously hard for us is in all our affairs. But that's where the 10 step really, really helps. It really helps, man. You know, we can't unknow things. We try. I know I try. I can't unknow it. You know, I have a responsibility. I just have a responsibility today. I can never repay the debt to Narcotics Anonymous, what I've gotten. I can't repay that debt. You know? But I know that, like, y'all tell me, and our literature says that the only way I can keep this is by giving it away. And the literature says that over and over and over again. And I believe our literature. When I have a new sponsee, I open up to the beginning of the basic text, the page right before Who is an Addict, and the words at the top of that page are our program. Don't get it twisted. That's our program. Everything that follows after that. And it says, you know, many books have been written about the nature of addiction. This book concerns itself primarily with the nature of recovery. Look, man, it's always about the drug. It's always about the drug for us. You know, because that's our most obvious symptom. There's other 12-step programs for other people, what they want to identify with their most obvious symptom. You know, but we're talking about recovery in here. You know, I'm not here to glorify my drug use. It's pretty boring. You know, I really didn't use heavy drugs, but I used drugs heavily. I just, you know, I'm telling you, like, you know, that's my truth, man. But I could end up with a needle in my neck, you know, down the way. You know, wondering what happened. You know, yeah, I need to get back to those meetings, but now they're full of shit. Didn't work. You know. So I don't know if I really should. You know, I just pray before, you know, more and more before I do things. Just I don't ask God, please let me get out of the way. God, just take me out of the way. Take me out of the way. Work through me to help somebody. You know, and if that happens, that's great. If not, there's another meeting starting up in a little, another workshop starting up in a little while. You know, there's one on humility, you know. You know, I'll probably be there. And listen, I love everyone in this room, including myself. I didn't leave 5 minutes before that miracle happened. You know, this way of life, we're just so blessed here. And yeah, I'm starting to ramble. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Gary.